Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Redmen TV. It's podcast time. Steve Hoare here hosting today, joined by Ross Chanley and Adam Rowe. We're going to be talking Mo Salah. We're going to be talking the FA Cup. We've got lots and lots. Mo Salah's been talking, and we're going to be talking about what Mo Salah's been talking about. But first, we've got a couple of kick-off questions. We've stolen it, I'll be honest. We've changed the format a little bit this time. This question, we didn't get it through the social media. We actually took it from a YouTube comment on the match build-up to the Milan game that is happening tonight. And we thought it was so good, we've introduced this one into the podcast. So anyone who's watching live, please get involved as well. We'll read some of your answers out to this question. I'll come to you first, Ross, because you're the one who spotted this question in the first place. It came from Key to Start, and he said, if you could pick any AC Milan player, past or present in their prime, to bring in to improve this current Liverpool team, who would you pick and why? Now, bear in mind, AC Milan got a fucking load of legends, like some of the best players we've ever seen.
I struggled on this because there's so many good players, and then I tried to think logically about where would they fit in, would they get used to our system, where could you improve in this side? Go back a few seasons, it would have been easy because you would have picked Maldini or Baresi or someone like that because we needed a centre-half, but I don't think that's an issue anymore. Ronaldinho, just because he's so good at football, be a joy to watch. But my concern is, would he do all the tracking back? Does that really matter?
When it's Ronaldinho.
Who knows when it's Ronaldinho? Like, who actually gives a fuck? But I think I'm going to go Shevchenko, purely on the basis of my football manager days when I was a kid. He was the first person that always buying, just banging all the goals, and his record is phenomenal. It is. He's going to improve this team with a clinical finisher than it's him. I mean, just not in penalties in the Champions League final.
That's what he was. So his record for them, according to Wikipedia, in my limited knowledge I've just done in the last 5 seconds, 322 games, 175 goals for them. So yeah, he had quite the impact there. So Shevchenko, we're going to vote for Shevchenko. Adam, what was your thought?
I think it's hard to look past Pato.
I can easily look past I thought I registered as Kaka, and then I went, oh yeah, Kaka. I was about to search Kaka and I went,
I think the only area of the field that we could look to improve, there's an argument that we need another winger because Salah and Mane might go and, you know, play in the Africa Cup of Nations and for a couple of games and whatever, but midfield is where we've been scared this year, where we're down to our last legs, literally. Yep. So I would go with either Kaka for the attacking element of that.
Yep.
But I think we're most vulnerable if Fabinho's out.
So you're looking at Pirlo?
Gattuso?
Pirlo, Gattuso.
Or
Seedorf.
Seedorf was ridiculous. I loved Seedorf.
So I'd probably go Seedorf. Okay. Based on our current squad, I'm going Seedorf.
See,
I think he'd make more of an impact coming into this Liverpool squad than anyone else.
The Pirlo vibes are quite, I don't know, making me feel a bit tingly. I wouldn't mind a bit.
But we've got Thiago for that, though.
No, I know, but Pirlo's Pirlo, isn't he, and stuff. Yeah. I kind of shithoused it, I'll be honest. So I went for the real Ronaldo, like the original Brazilian Ronaldo. He was at AC Milan for
a week.
He played 20 games and actually scored 9 goals for them. So if 20 and 9, he played 20 goals for them. So the question was, you get them in their prime. So I'm taking Ronaldo that played for AC Milan, but going for the prime version.
Boo.
If you don't allow me that, then I'm all for Kaka. I'm all for Kaká. I thought he was amazing in Istanbul. He was amazing a couple of years later as well. Like, again, as much as I love our midfield, but if you replace any of them, well, obviously not Fabinho, with Kaká, like, I know Adam referenced this before we started talking, like, the obvious answer would have been that because we never scored goals from midfield. But now, although we are now, imagine just how much more of those we would score. Imagine, like, Kaká with the ball at his feet with half a second, and in front of him he's got the run of Mane, the run of Salah, he's got his striker up front. Kaká would be outrageous. I've shit-housed it with my Ronaldo one anyway, because I think you mentioned before Shevchenko being your idol.
Yeah.
For me, Ronaldo was my idol. By the time he got to AC Milan, he was very much more in the shape that I'm in now than the shape he needed to be.
Yeah, he was fat Ronaldo by then, wasn't he?
He was literally getting called. I don't like calling fat Ronaldo, but like, yeah, he was, and I think it's disrespectful to him, but he literally was fat Ronaldo. Going to the chat then, we've got
of course it's disrespectful. You're calling someone fat?
No, I don't think it's disrespectful to call a fat person fat. Like, if someone calls me fat, I don't take it. It's like someone calling me bald. It's like, well, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but that's not how disrespect works, though, is it?
Okay.
Just because something's true doesn't mean it's disrespectful. No, that doesn't mean it's not disrespectful.
Because they point it out and they like to tell them.
Yeah, it's awful, isn't it?
So when people on the internet just go, "You're bald," you're pretty. I was like, "That, yeah, it doesn't bother me, but maybe it should. Maybe I'm being, maybe I'm just happy-go-lucky, yeah. and people are disrespecting me."
The problem is, new Ronaldo came along, and now therefore, whenever goes like original Ronaldo to us, but a younger generation, it's Ronaldo and fat Ronaldo.
Yeah, it was bad, and I had to Google Ronaldo before to make sure he did play for AC Milan. I wasn't misremembering. And
did you Google Ronaldo or fat Ronaldo?
No, I googled Ronaldo, and the first a million things that come up were Cristiano Ronaldo. So then I had to type in. I had to Google Ronaldo Brazil. I thought, it should be the other way around. Google needs to sort that out.
Is he the only player to play for both Milan clubs and both El Clasico clubs?
Let's say maybe. I mean, if someone in the chat wants to let us know of anybody else, I can't think of anyone off the top of my head who maybe did it. Because Latam come to mind, but then he didn't play for Real, did he?
Play for Madrid, yeah.
Yeah, let us know in the chat if you can think of if Adam answers. Answer Adam's question there. So let me go to said chat for some answers. So Blazer's brother would pick Maldini, George would pick Kaká. We've got, I mean, Ari Akil has picked six, so we're not, but that's fine. He went for Maldini, Kaká, right guard, or Ronaldinho. Mark said anyone but Mario Balotelli, and then Ryan said Kaká without a doubt. And George, like, he worked his balls off too. He did. Kaká ran around a lot.
I think the right answer is Kaká. Probably.
He was outrageous.
But I want Seedorf.
And again, yeah, I mean, I'm all for Seedorf. Is just like souped up Genie Wijnaldum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because he was a very similar player. He's probably a little bit better technically, but like ran all day, engine, great skill. Hardly ever lost the ball. They were two very, very good ones.
Just take a David without the glasses, wasn't he?
And we had a shout here for Marco van Basten, which again could be a really good shout. I've seen the clips of the volleys and stuff and the clips of the goals. I didn't really ever see Marco van Basten play. Maybe sure, he's a little bit older than my generation, but yeah. If he comes and scores that volley that he scored every week, then yeah, we'd all be in for Marco van Basten as well. And then last couple of shouts then. So Jeremiah has gone for Pirlo. And we've got Blazer. Imagine Maldini and Van Dijk as a duo, though. I know Matip is class, but just imagine.
Yeah.
But you could have Nesta in there, or your Yapstam.
Yeah, so yeah.
Yeah, but you
ridiculous.
Wouldn't. That's how good Maldini is. Is like those two don't even come into the conversation because of Maldini.
Yeah. So Kaká is my answer. You went for Seedorf, you went for Shevchenko. Let us know again if you're watching live in the comments. If you're not, tweet us at the Redmen TV or put it in the comments section of this video. We'd love to hear your answers. The fact is, that's how good AC Milan have been, that you could pick about 20, 30 lads and they're all absolute legends and brilliant footballers, like Frank Rijkaard getting a mention again. There's loads and loads of them. Right then, rather than go for a second kickoff question, Adam, I'm going to come to you on this one. Because you're doing a lot of good work for charity at the moment, and your Have a Word podcast brothers.
What's happening is Sutton has got badly out of hand, so we've got to give some money to charity because we've got to do it for charity. We're going for Christmas number one, which is what I assume you're bringing up.
Yeah, it was. Is there any other charity work you're doing? Are you like a philanthropist or something?
Do you just want to do this?
I gave a homeless guy a fiver last night because he looked sad.
There you go. Keep going.
We're going for Christmas number one. We've written a song, which is an in-joke from our podcast. The song's called Laura's Gone. It's about my podcast co-host Dan's wife leaving him.
I can see why that's a Christmas-themed song.
Well, the only reference to Christmas in the entire song is the very last word that Dan says is Merry Christmas, innit? That's literally it. It's the only reference to it. And a few months ago, we were like, should we go for Christmas number one? That'd be funny. And we thought if we get in top 40, we'll be able to say that was a laugh. But the bookies currently have us as third favourite behind Elton John and Ed Sheeran and someone else. And we're going for it. And the two charities we're raising money for are Zoe's Place, which is a baby's hospice in West Derby in Liverpool, and Checked, which is the Childhood Eye Cancer Trust, which is close to one of our listeners' hearts. So we said we'd split it between those two. You can pre-order the song. By the way, the YouTube, if you're only going to buy it and give the money to the charity, if you like the song, the music video is on youtube.com/haveawaypod. It's actually a really good song, you know. And you can pre-order it now on Amazon and Apple, and the links for that are in the description of our YouTube video, of the music video. Just go and buy it. It's funny. And if we beat Elton John and Ed Sheeran, it'll just be, we'll get to say that forever.
Can you and Dan be the new Elton John and Ed Sheeran? And if so, who's who?
Well, we're going to start every little bit of promo that they put out for their song, we're going to recreate it. Yeah. So there's one where Elton John is holding Ed Sheeran. So I don't know who's going to hold who, because we're both carrying a bit of timber at the minute. But we're going to try and recreate everything. And like, I've started spreading rumours about both of them.
Okay. How's that working?
Well, you know, it's early days, Steve. Do you know what I mean? The papers haven't quite picked up on it yet, but if they start to pick up...
We get it exclusive.
Oh, remember Heat magazine? Yeah. Just seen Ed Sheeran.
It's a genuine, like, political smear campaign. That's what we're going for. I want to just completely assassinate their character, get number one, and then in January go, oh, we made all that up. I'm sure the sound.
For more, please do go and buy as long as it's for two amazing charities.
It's 79p.
79p goes to, most of the money goes to charity, if not all of it. How much are you pocketing much?
Literally all of it goes to charity.
Literally all.
Every bit of profit I think we're probably gonna have to pay VAT on all the money. So the government's gonna be.
Yeah.
But like every penny that it makes that we get into our accounts is going straight to the charity.
So do go and get involved.
Has Dan's wife left him?
No.
All right, Sans.
That is a common question, though, including from Dan's family. I don't think we'd quite get away with doing that song if that had happened. What happens
is... funny, yeah.
So the reason it's called that, and the reason that's the theme of the song, is we get a lot... Our podcast, Have a Word, we get a lot of correspondence from listeners, which is like, I've been seeing this girl for a while, this has happened, what do I do? And for a while, Dan was like, I'm married, like, I can't really put myself in a situation. So I started making up very elaborate reasons why his wife might have left him, so that he could put himself in the situation to give these people advice. And it just became like an in-joke on the show. And then Finn, our assistant producer, is a musician. So he wrote this song just for a laugh. And was like, oh, I'll put it to a bit of music. Then when we started doing live shows, he was like, do you want to sing us out with Laura's Gone? And our listeners and the fans who come to the shows love it, and they're singing along, and it's like, it's actually a really good song. And then I think I was drunk one day and was like, we're going for Christmas number one, and it's just got badly out of hand now. So to the point where if we finish second, I'm going to be gutted, because I've convinced myself we're going to be Christmas number one.
How would you celebrate if you do get number one?
Well, I'm going to be in the pub. Okay. So the chart is at 5 p.m. on Christmas Eve.
Oh, what a time.
So I'll be in the boozer with me missus, me little brother, me missus's mum and dad, and my dad.
Oh, class.
And Carl and his mum, I think, are going to come as well. So we're gonna be in the Bulldog, probably in West Derby, just getting pints in. And then we're going to get the Bulldog, hopefully, because me missus knows like the owners and that, because they live quite close to it. The regulars just go, can you just put the chart on? And just like try
top 10, good enough.
Fingers crossed nice. For you. Like, a good place you'd even drown your sorrows or hopefully celebrate a win. And if you're in the Bulldog on Christmas Eve, buy Adam a bevy as well.
And you can literally see Zoe's Place from the Bulldog.
Yeah,
you can see the baby's hospice that we're raising the money for. So
nice.
To go over, I say,
there's thousands of you watching this.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely, I know last year that the people who won last year's Christmas number one, they sold 70 odd, it was between like 70 and 80,000 copies, somewhere in that region. That's doable.
Yeah.
Especially if Scousers get behind it.
Yeah, for like, sure. Let's get two very hardworking people. Four years now, full time, pretty much. Four.
We've got Carl, our lead producer, is he's literally owns part of the company with me and Dan. Finn is full time, and Stay, our new assistant, He's about to go full time as well. We've got a three-man production team, and me and Dan host.
Amazing. So please do go and go check out the Have a Word podcast as well. But do go and buy the song, buy the single, get raise some money for charity, and let's get Adam and Dan to Christmas number one. Right, we're going to go for a short break now, after which we are going to talk Mohamed Salah. We're going to talk the FA Cup as well. But first, I want to tell you, we've just released over on Redmen Merch our new gift card. So if you're looking for a present for you or for a significant other or anyone in your life who loves the Reds, check this out, and we'll be back shortly.
Hey, what's happening? This Christmas, give the gift of incredible Liverpool content, documentaries, features, interviews, podcasts, and pre- and post-game analysis for all Liverpool's games this season with our three-month gift card subscription to Red Men Plus. The cards are available right now on redmenmerch.com and will give you full access to every piece of content we make on a weekly basis and hundreds of hours of content available in our back catalogue, including the Hendo 10 documentary series, exploring the derelict Melwood, and instant match reactions and final words after every Liverpool Football Club game. Get involved now. Those gift cards are available on redmenmerch.com and give the gift of happiness and Liverpool Football Club this Christmas.
Yeah, so there you go. If you're looking for a present for this Christmas, or you, as I say, you're looking for a gift for somebody else, maybe a Secret Santa or anything like that, 3 month subscription over on Red Men Plus. Get one of these nice little gift cards. Well, you can see they're lovely. Scratch the code off, enter it into the website as you sign up, and you won't pay anything for your first 3 months. So £15, little bargain, nice little present for someone if you're looking to get one for anyone. Right then, let's talk about the Reds and Mo Salah in particular, Ross. So Mo Salah very rarely gives interviews, and when he does, I always wonder what he's about to say. And usually it can be quite bland, and you know, he's a lovely fella, etc., etc. But this time he was asked in his homeland of Egypt by broadcaster NBC Masar TV, and he was basically asked about his contract, where he's up to, and he actually gave away some, you know, pretty, I don't know what it is, significant answers. Like they were basically, he puts the ball in Liverpool's court.
Yeah, it wasn't like press training answers, was it? It sounded like he's getting a bit sick and tired of it dragging on.
Yeah,
so we all are in a minute.
He basically said, I've said this several times, if it's a decision up to me, I want to stay in Liverpool, but the decision is in the hands of the management and they have to solve this issue. There is no problem, but we have to reach an agreement for the contract. That's up to them. Your financial value shows how much the club appreciates you and that they are ready to do anything for you to say, but the decision itself is not based on those financial matters only. There are things like the ambition of the team and the coach and what he wants to do with the team and the players he wants. These are all important points when making the decision. He was then prompted about the reported interest by Barcelona. He basically said, I read what was said about Xavi's interest to Sammy, and that is something that makes me happy that a team like Barcelona is interested in me. But I'm happy at Liverpool and we'll see what happens. At the moment, I prefer to stay in the Premier League as it's the strongest league in the world. So, Adam, I'll come to you on this one then. Mo Salah is basically putting out there to say, lads, everyone who's listened, fans who are worried, everyone, this is not a me issue. I told Liverpool FSG what I want, the management he calls them. I told them what I want. I want to stay. I want this, this, and this. It's up to them to go and sort it.
Yeah, I don't even necessarily think it's him. I think he's gone, look, I trust my agent. Rami and him go way back, don't they? He's like, when he's saying the management, I don't even think he's just talking about the club. He's talking about Rami as well. He's going, they just need to sort it out. I've said to Rami, I want to stay here, but get me what I'm worth. And I think what he's essentially saying with regards to the ambition of the team, he's going, we haven't signed anyone. Mm-hmm. And we all, like, he's much more intelligent when it comes to football than any fan. And every fan at the minute is looking at the age of our squad and going, yeah, they're probably going to be at the peak for 18 months here to 2 years. But then where's the fresh blood?
Yep.
Because Harvey Elliott can't do it all.
Yep.
Like, Curtis Jones can't do it all. There's going to need to be signings, and there hasn't been. So I think he's probably going, right, who are you planning to bring in here? Like, who's the targets? Where is the next phase of this team coming from? If it was just down to money, I think, do you know, of course you do. Sam Maguire, the analyst, I follow him on Twitter, and he's a good lad. He tweeted yesterday, because I said about when we let Wijnaldum go, I was like, when you think about the costs of replacing him on top of wages, I don't know why he was ever let go. If you give Salah now for 4 years, 400 grand a week, over 4 years, that's like an 80 million commitment. To get Jota in with the transfer fee and with the agent fees, it was 83 million for 4 years. So it's the same investment in Salah that we've invested in Diogo Jota. Yep. And you can say, oh, it breaks the wage structure and all that. He's breaking records every week. So break the fucking wage structure for him, if that's what the stumbling block is.
Yeah, I was saying this, Ross. Like, I was thinking, why now? And I think the obvious answer of why now is he's sick of getting asked about it. Because every single time he does a press conference, I mean, he is being asked about it, which, again, he doesn't need that. But the second point of all is, there's never a time where Mo Salah's going to be... I mean, he might continue this run for 6, 7, 8 months, who knows? But he's playing as well as he's ever played. He's the best footballer on the planet now, and it's quite significantly distanced as well, with all due respect to your Lewandowskis and your Benzemas. No one's playing at a level Mo Salah is. The leverage is his. There's not going to be one Liverpool fan, or very few of them, and I'll check the comments in a moment, but who's going, "Nah, we don't need Mo Salah. I'd rather let him go. Don't pay him. Like, I'd rather bring in the next version. I'd rather sign the next Diogo Jota." Like, Mo Salah's got all the leverage here, and it's a perfect opportunity for him from his point of view to get out in public and talk about it.
It's also a scary thought in the sense of, if you've got distractions in your workplace, sometimes it can, you know, affect your work. He's got this massive cloud over his head and everyone's asking questions every 5 minutes, but he's banging goals week in, week out. Once he's got his future secured, like, he's got that pressure off him. So there's maybe a point where he can get even better. I think the other point of his future is probably going to players is a good point, but also Jurgen Klopp. What's the plan after him? Because he can commit his future to Liverpool till, what, 25, 26, 27. What's the plan? Who's the manager? You know, I don't know who the manager is, but what's the idea if Klopp is going to leave? Are there things in place for when he does go? And the momentum of the team can grow and the club can grow with that as well. He needs that security.
You mentioned earlier, Adam, as well, about, like, you know, the way you structure in Liverpool, how do you do business and stuff. Like, there are always circumstances. I don't think there'll be a player in the Liverpool team who goes, "You know what, I don't want us to sign Mo Salah." Or, like, if we give him that, then that means I'm going to want this. I think, like, for example, Leo Messi's had this at Barcelona for ages. I bet there wasn't anyone at Barcelona going, "Can't be paying Messi that much and I'm only on this much." I think they're like, "Of course, no, I want to play with this player in my team. We're going to win things with Mo Salah." That's the argument I don't get with the way he structures things, is that, again, he's the best player in the world.
Player in the world. Commercially, he sells more than any other player in the team, on top of being the best player in the world. If anyone else is going to go to the club and go, "Oh, what's going on here?" Just go, right, look at the numbers alone.
Yeah.
And I'm talking goals. And like, we all love Jota. Like, everyone really likes him. He's had an unbelievable first 18 months as a Liverpool player, and he got injured in it, and he's been great. And Mo Salah doubles his numbers. He doubles it. Yep. And Jota's seen as a really good player. So, like, it's the difference between where we were 5 years ago, fighting for fourth and trying to win titles, is having a Mo Salah on top of a great team. We've had great players before, surrounded by average players. We've now got a squad of, you know, 15, 16 players that would probably start for almost any team in the Premier League. And Mohamed Salah would start for any team in the world, in any era, not just now. That's the difference.
Yeah, you're outrageous, isn't
he? He's top of both the goals scored and the assists chart. He's running the league on his own. Like, there's no conversation. Whatever he needs to stay, give him it.
Yeah, but also, what does it say? The message, if he does go and he don't give a new contract, what message does that send to the rest of the squad? Yeah. Because, like, I know there was a lot of players that were really pissed off that he didn't sort Gini out, as you mentioned before, and they were fucking fuming that he never looked after him and kept him inside. And he has a good effect on the side and did all the dirty work and whatever else, but the numbers that, you know, Salah's putting up, you can't replace that. So what's the ambition then? Oh, we're not gonna break the wage structure for him, we'll just, you know, kind of go as we wish. And then you've sold your best player, but then everyone else is going, like, "You just fucking sold our best player."
It also tells every other player around the world. Like, we get linked every year with, "Oh, Liverpool are, you know, they're thinking about Mbappe,
yeah,
thinking about Haaland," and then it's, "Oh, we might sign Harvey Barnes," who I'd absolutely love to sign for Liverpool, by the way. But it says to every other player that there's a ceiling at Liverpool,
yeah,
and once you become a genuine world great, they won't pay you the money, so you have to leave.
Yeah.
It says that you can't become, like, a genuine Ballon d'Or contender and do that and win two or three of them as a Liverpool player. You have to go to one of these clubs that'll give you 400 grand a week.
Yeah,
if the next stage for Liverpool is to become the club that the best players on the planet know they can achieve all their dreams with, and if you're not going to do whatever it takes to keep the best player on the planet in your team when he's literally in interviews begging to stay, it says to every other player in the world, oh, if it's between Liverpool and going to Madrid, okay, Madrid aren't as good a team right now, but in 2 years they will be, because Liverpool will lose their best players.
Do you think Liverpool can do that, though, with the business model and owners that we've got? Because Barcelona put themselves in a lot of shit by doing that.
Barcelona did it by trying to do it with 8 players.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Messi wasn't the problem at Barcelona.
Dembele.
It was Dembele, yeah, and the Neymar deal screwed them a few years ago, and it's Coutinho. They did it with everyone. I'm asking Liverpool to do it with the best player on the planet. I'm not asking them to build a team of Galacticos.
Yeah.
Because I don't want us to do that. But I want to keep the best player on the planet who wants to be at the club, who loves the club, who is going to go on. Like, if he stays here for another 4 years and even remotely keeps up the level he's at the minute, he's going to go down as Liverpool's best ever player. He's going to be competing with Kenny Dalglish for that title. And when you think about that sentence and what Kenny's done for this club and how good he was as a player, the fact that that's even remotely possible is insane.
I suppose, Ross, well, like, he is about to turn 30 in June. I think he turns 30 in June. But, like, I think, again, and I don't know if... And I've got some people in the chat here. I think it was Fun Time Now says, you know, his form can drop after he turns 30. I've seen nothing from Mo Salah that makes me think when he's 34, 35, he won't be this good. Like, even if he loses this much pace, like, his pace is amazing, don't get me wrong, it's a valuable asset, but Mo Salah doesn't need his pace to be great because he's that good anyway.
He's that fit, he's grown muscles on the side of his ribs that don't exist on anybody else.
One that looks like hands, yeah. Those hands.
Yeah, yeah, it's thing. Fucking mental. And this thing of this narrative of, like, you turn 30 and then you're dead. Maybe 10, 15 years ago when players used to go and get cunted the night before or be even in the morning of, you know, Tony Adams and Paul Merson going and have four or five pints, then go out for a game. He looks after himself. Look at Ronaldo, look at Messi.
Maybe we're about to play Zlatan tonight. Zlatan, he's 40 and he's still scoring goals in Milan.
And he's still banging it in. So, I think he's adapted his game where he's not solely reliant on pace. Yep. So when you had players before, like Michael Owen, as soon as he got injured, lost his pace. Okay, he had his finishing stuff, but he was never the same player. No. Mo Salah's adapted his game, so it's this close control and trapping the ball and dropping the shoulder and bringing other people into play. He's got better by improving his own game. Did he tell me he can't do that for another 4 years, just 5 years? Well, I think he can.
Also, 30 has never actually been the end of a player's career. Like,
35, 36, maybe.
Exactly. So, and I'm not asking Liverpool to sign Mo Salah to an 11-year contract. No. The next 4 years is probably going to be the best Mo Salah you ever see.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about UnitedHealthcare coverage at UH1.com. That's UH1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
See, forget what he did a few years ago when he broke the Premier League record. This season, next season, and the season after, those 3 years are going to be another level of Mohamed Salah. And the year after that, which would be the fourth year of the contract, we're asking the club to sort out. So what if he falls off? Like, get those 3 years out of him and then send them wherever you want.
Yeah. And you should have, and to his point on what it sounds like he's making on there as well, other people around him to take the load off him, because it shouldn't all be Mohamed Salah.
No.
You know, I know we've got Bobby and we've got Manny now, but they're approaching the same age. I think their contracts have not been spoken about much.
No.
I think it's the Naby Keita and Oxlade-Chamberlain, but they're not on the same level as those other two. he's probably thinking, well, you sorted my contract out, but what about my two mates? You know, and if they're not staying, who's coming in to replace them?
Yeah, you're right. I think I do agree. I think he wants he obviously wants to know what the team is. He basically says that, you know, there's loads to come on. But he wants to stay. That's the main thing. Like, there's no... When it was like Emre Can and stuff and his contract was running out, and he never really come out. It was always all we'll talk about it. Genie was always all we're talking about it. And it turns out Genie probably would have stayed anyway, but it was what it was.
That I think there's a fear from fans from the Genie thing of the same conversations happening and the same thing. Because those quotes he said about 2 months ago to Sky Sports, exactly the same thing. He was like, oh, the club can fucking deal with it. And like what to Adam's point before, like, I'm getting a bit pissed off with it now. I'm just going, like, how hard is this conversation?
Jürgen was asked about it and he said, we're talking, you don't just meet for a cup of tea in the afternoon and come to an agreement. So, again, it is a complicated deal because I'm guessing, you mentioned before about the commercialness of Mo Salah, like, image rights and fees and all this kind of stuff. Like, Mo Salah is an icon, he's a business, he's an icon. You're talking Ronaldo, Messi levels of contract. Maybe not wage, but who knows? But you talk, so I get it, it's not an easy thing to come to. But at some point, Adam...
Give us 6 months, stay.
It's a long, I agree, it needs to be done,
He will reach a point of going, are you fucking not interested then?
Yeah, and Steven Gerrard got to this point actually where he said that at one point, one of the reasons he was thinking of going was because, like, he never felt like he wanted to keep me that much.
Yeah. Yeah.
And footballers, no matter what, and they are amazing fellas, but like a lot of them, A, they have egos and base, sometimes there is a bit of self-doubt and there's like, well, if you're not looking after me, I need to look after myself, and I get that. And listen, Mo Salah's never going to be short of a quid. He could retire now and he'd be set for life. But like he mentioned, your value is your value and that shows how much you're appreciated. I think that's a part of it. Adam, then I'm going to come to you on this one. There is a lot of anti-owner feelings among some Liverpool fans. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm not anti, I'm not for him. I kind of live in the middle ether of it. But letting Gini Wijnaldum go, it pissed a few people off. Like,
me included,
every single day, it was a ridiculous, stupid decision. But it wasn't anger, like, it wasn't... Yeah. If you let Mo Salah go as an ownership, it would be nasty, I think. I mean, you're talking, like, people in the ground, like, the people who... Again, social media exists in what it exists in, but I think it would be physically and audibly on show if you let Mo Salah go. The anger to these ownership, that is something that needs to be considered, because... It will get nasty, won't it? If Mo Salah leaves Liverpool this summer or next summer, it's going to get really, really horrible.
It'll be really, like, I'm very similar to you. I think FSG have done a fairly decent job.
You supported them today, you got the hat on.
I just like American merch. They've done a decent job of getting the club from where it is to where it is now. I think the FSG outers forget that they're the men who sacked Brendan Rodgers and put Kenny in and have brought Klopp in.
Yeah. Built a ground, signed all these players, built a training ground. Like, I think sometimes the pros can get forgotten, but then also you can't, like you said, you can't ignore the negatives, of which there's been plenty too.
There's been plenty. They've made big mistakes and they've been brushed, like the Super League thing. And like there's a lot that they've done that has been ignored because we're winning. If we were still languishing in 4th, 5th and 6th, they'd have already had to go, because the atmosphere would have been toxic. The fact that we've won a league and won a Champions League, and again this season are in competition for either of them or both again, that's why there's a lot of, actually, let's not all... If they let the best player on the planet who's begging to stay at this club go, they will be hounded out of Anfield as fast as Hicks and Gillette were. And I know that didn't seem fast, but you know, once it got a bit of momentum... They had to go, and again, I think it'd be exactly the same thing.
That's the difference, isn't it, Ross? In that, like, the Hicks and Gillette thing, it's a separate issue, because again, it was the future of Liverpool Football Club. Like, Liverpool Football Club will still exist without Mo Salah. We've replaced great players before, and we could easily do it again. But it's almost like that would be the straw that breaks the camel's back a little bit. I feel like if there's some people teetering on the edge, like, how can you possibly not justify giving Mo Salah money? When you sign a player, the aim of any signing is to bring him in and make him the best footballer in the world, and only one of them can do that. Ever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, one player that can only be the best at any one time. We've just come through an era where Messi and Ronaldo were battling for that spot, and then we're in the new era of football now, and it's your Salahs and your Levers and your Haalands and your Mbappes. Only one can be the best, and we've got him at the moment.
Salah could win the next 3 Ballon d'Or.
Quite easily, mate. He definitely could. That's the level he's at. And when Michael Edwards got the laptop out and found Mohamed Salah and got the deal done, this is what you wanted him to do. So therefore, there must be a contingency, there must be a plan in place to say, right, if we get this player and he's brilliant, he becomes the best player in the world, how do we keep him? And it feels like we've got to this point, and it's a bit like, oh, fucking hell, like, how do we keep him? It doesn't feel like the process doesn't make sense to me. This should be the easiest deal for Liverpool to ever complete, because it should be, right, you're the best player in the world, what do you want? okay, maybe let's do a deal, blah, blah, done. I don't see why it's so difficult. You have to keep Mohamed Salah.
Yeah. In some senses, we have improved in that area, though, because you look at, you know, Torres, Suarez, Sterling, Coutinho, like, that doesn't really happen anymore. And we've got, you know, what, 5, 6, 7 world-class players, maybe more in this squad
now.
And
no one's pushing to leave.
They've all tied down to long-term contracts at least once. And the Salah stuff, there's not one small reason that I can think don't do it. If he was putting up like numbers and he was scoring 10 goals a season and going, actually, well, he's at his peak, there's interest, you can get your money back and you can go and do whatever else. But who are you getting in to replace him? That's the other thing.
It's your Mbappes and your Haalands and stuff.
But there's no...
It would cost more.
They'd
want more basic wage than he's asking for. We pretty much know he's after 400 grand a week.
Roughly, yeah, we expect.
That's what he's after. You're telling me that we're going to be able to get Mbappe in and pay him less on top of the 100 whatever million him or Haaland the cost.
There's no guarantee they're going to do it in the Premier League. I'm 90% sure that they would because they're world-class players, but Mohamed Salah's proven in the Premier League for a one-season wonder for four or five seasons.
And this is exactly my point. When people say, well, why don't we just let him go and get Haaland and you get Mbappe? First of all, like, even I know Mbappe's on a free, he's not going to be on a free. Imagine that the agent's fees and the sign-on fee, Mbappe's not going to be free.
Haaland's £100 million on a sign-on fee between him and his agent.
Haaland's talking about £1 million a week, the first £1 million a week.
He's got his release clause that's around €75 million euro, give or take. But then imagine the wage he wants and the sign-on fee. The cheapest option is to keep Mohamed Salah. The best option is to keep Mohamed Salah. I agree with what you said before. I think if it doesn't get done, again, right now it's fine because we're winning, like you say. And we could get to the end of the season and we could be lifting the European Cup and the Premier League and we're like absolutely buzzing. But it's never going to go away until it's done. And you don't want to go into next season, Ross, because right now it doesn't look like it's not affecting him. If anything, it might be giving him a kick up the arse to fucking look what he's doing. He's producing numbers that are an outrageous rate. But at some point it will sleep. You know, if you start next season and it's in his mind, this might be my last year. And then all of a sudden he's on the phone to Madrid, he's on the phone to Barcelona, he's on the phone to Paris, he's on the phone to Manchester. God
stop
God.
Those phone calls happening.
Yeah, that's it. It needs to be here.
Genuinely give me a fucking arrhythmia then.
Take his phone off him. It shouldn't be happening now, to be honest with you. You know, it's to Adam's point before, it's great that everything's going so well, so we kind of put it on the back burner. I don't want it to be a distraction for any of us. We're playing so well. We're fighting for, you know, we're on all four fronts currently that we've been entered into.
You're right.
I want to go out and win all them. I don't want to go. We had Coutinho and Suarez going, oh, will he leave, will he leave? Links with Barcelona. We're going to get to January. It's quite funny. I saw a tweet yesterday of saying we won't buy anyone in January, but Liverpool go, oh, Salah's done, to kind of soften that blow and kind of distract everyone. You know,
the only credit FSG deserve is that we're now in a position where the Coutinhos and Suarez's would want to stay at the club.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if they were at the club now, they'd be doing exactly what Mohamed Salah is and going, I want this contract sorted and I want to stay here. This is great. So that's the journey we've took as a club. But they've made some massive mistakes, the ownership. And like I say, and you're absolutely right, Anfield would become Goodison Park if they let him go.
Imagine what Jurgen Klopp would think as well. Because he gets to a point, and I think he was pissed off with Gini Wijnaldum because I think he tried to fight for him to stay. The same with Jordan Henderson, and he fought and he won that one. Of course he wants the best player in the world in his football side, so what's he going to do? I'm like,
player in the world, he knows the system, runs the system, is creating and scoring. Like, there was about a year's gap where I didn't come into the studio because I just didn't.
The world shut down.
It was pandemic, Adam.
And like in the past sort of month or two, I've been in here 3 times and this has come up every time. Yeah. And the fact that it hasn't been sorted in that time, and like whoever the admin is on the LFC Twitter account is tweeting like, these type of goals are becoming Mohamed Salah's signature move. And the fact that that's been approved by someone. And you're when that was happening, I was like, oh, he's signed. It'll be tonight at 10 o'clock or whenever they normally drop the news. It's coming. It's all going to be. And then we're here a month later and fuck all's happened.
You may just go, Mohamed Salah's gone on a plane to Milan.
We're at that point. Yeah, I agree. I was just fascinated the fact that it's come out now, Ross. If not, to put a bow on this before we move on to the next topic, then I think it's interesting that he's done it in public. He's done it, and this what you know.
He's putting the pressure on.
Yeah, really, that's exactly it. It's almost the point now, right? I am sick of this. Whether it's pressure on Liverpool, it's pressure on his agent, it's pressure on whoever it is. It's out in the even now. Mo Salah wants this done. He's fed up of it. It needs to be sorted now. Like, they've got to get around the table. They've got to get this done. And when it happens, and if it happens, I'm still convinced it will. By the way, my general feeling is I think it will. It could be a
weight
off
the shoulders. My general feeling is it has to.
Yeah.
It will, because it has to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't see any reason why it wouldn't. I could see, I wanted Gene to stay and I'm upset he left, and I think we felt that already earlier this season. But I was never convinced that he was staying. I was never absolutely just thinking like, there's no life without Genie is irreplaceable. My thinking was, they're going to let him go and buy someone. He didn't do that. But I feel with Mo Salah, like, there's no other option. Like, again, it's very rare that one player can have that much power over an organisation, but every route that Liverpool can go from this way costs them more money and causes them more headaches than just keeping Mo Salah. And that's why I think it will get done eventually.
Yeah, and I also think it's easier for Liverpool to replace other members of the squad.
Yeah, yeah. You can't replace the best player in the world. It's literally impossible. Yeah.
So probably genuinely easier for Liverpool to replace the rest of the squad. Like, you can get another forward who will score a few goals and can learn the system. You can get another left winger. I love Mane, but, you know, he's a lot more replaceable than Salah is. The midfield, like, okay, we've got a great midfield at the minute, and as long as they stay fit, I think we'll compete on both fronts. But I'm almost bored of the conversation now. Like, he's got to be signed.
He has got
to be vet. I'd love them to just be like, oh, we're going to be messing it sorted, and they drop it on like Christmas Day or something. Just make
amazing. So you get Christmas number one, and then Mo Salah signs you. Adam's having the greatest Christmas that he's had in quite a while.
And next year he can feature on the song for trying to get our title back.
Just get the sequel involved, right? Absolutely brilliant. Thanks, guys. I agree with you 100%. So before we move on to the FA Cup top 10, I want to show you guys who are watching this on YouTube. Obviously, you are aware that we have our Red Men Plus streaming service and all the great content we make on it. Well, if you sign up as a club legend subscriber on Red Men Plus this month, we are doing a daily draw for some amazing prizes. We're already 6 days into it, we've given 6 prizes away. We're about to do the seventh draw right after this break, but first have a little look at what this competition is all about. Hey guys, Steve here with some excellent news for you. Usually throughout the year we do a monthly draw for all our amazing club legend subscribers. Well, in the month of December, it's the festive period and we're feeling kind, we're feeling giving. So what we're going to be doing every single day from December 1st right up until Christmas Day is a daily draw for all our club legend subscribers. We've got some amazing prizes to give away as well. We're going to go through those shortly, but what we're going to do is show you how you guys can make sure your name is in the hat to win some of these amazing gifts and prizes. So if you are not a subscriber to Red Men Plus, if you want to go and join now, it's very, very simple. Go to the Red Men TV website, you click the button that says join us, from there sign up, join as a club legend either on a monthly subscription or as a yearly subscription, and you guys will automatically be entered into every single one of these prize draws. If you are one of our club captain subscribers and you want to upgrade your account to become a club legend, very, very simple how you do that from the homepage. You click the My Account button and follow the steps there to upgrade again, either a monthly or a yearly subscription. Very, very simple. So what amazing prizes have you got, I hear you ask? Well, let me tell you that. We've got a book from Mona Nemba, the Liverpool's head of nutrition. We've got a signed picture of Michael Owen. We've got a Hendo 10 box full of goodies. We've got DVDs, we've got socks. We've got a signed author's edition of our Hendo 10 book. We've got a signed medal signed by former Liverpool striker Michael Owen. We've got our new DVD, Let's Talk About Six. We've got calendars. We've got a signed picture from Liverpool captain Jordan Henderson. We've got every single one of our new Christmas sweaters. You can see them behind me here. All of them, they are flying out of the store. But you can get one for free if you enter this draw. And then the big one on Christmas Day. Saving the best to last, look at this beauty. It's a framed, signed shirt by none other than the King. The King, Sir Kenny Dalglish. What a prize that is. And all you guys have to do to be in the draws is be a Club Legend subscriber. So sign up at the Red Men TV as a Club Legend. You'll be in the draw. If you're a club captain now, upgrade your subscription to Club Legend and you too will be in the draw. 25 of these draws will be happening through the month of December. Make sure you're in it. Yeah, so there you go. If you are one of our club captain subscribers, you think about upgrading to Club Legend, please do so. You'll be in these draws. If you're just watching on YouTube and you're considering joining Red Men Plus, there's never been a better time to do it. Like I say, if you do sign up and join as a Club Legend, which is basically you get all the content but a few extra perks as well, one of which is entry into these draws. And speaking of which, we are about to do today's draw. And the prize for today is this little beauty. It's a medal that Paul and Chris received at Anfield for when they played at Anfield, but it's been signed by former Liverpool striker Michael Owen, that is today's prize, and we're about to go to the spinning wheel now to see who wins it. So I'm going to give this a little click. Now, this takes way longer than you think, by the way. It spins for ages, but let's give it a go. Here it goes. Spinny, 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 spinny. Drum roll, please. It takes longer than you think every single time. Here it comes, here it comes. Congratulations and well done to the winner, Steve Garry. Oh, my word. What are the chances? So Steve won a Christmas jumper like 5 or 6 days ago, was it?
Yeah.
2 for 2, Steve. There you go. Club legends, there you go. You might win more than one prize. Congratulations, Steve. He literally sent us a tweet about half an hour ago wearing his jumper that he won.
Email, yeah.
He said, oh, sorry, he emailed us with a picture of the jumper he's won. Well, he's just won another prize. I mean, ridiculous. There's like, what are the odds of that? Anyway, here you go, Steve. This will be posted on his way to you. We might as well wait till we could have saved ourselves the posters. But Michael Owens, Steve. And by the way, Michael Owens' medal is on his way to you. I'm going to reach down very professionally. The prize for tomorrow's draw, which will be live, well, we'll put it out on our social accounts. There's no live shows being filmed tomorrow, is this little beauty. It's a copy of our Let's Talk About 6 DVD. There are 2 feature-length documentaries in there about Liverpool's European Cup win in Madrid, and also some bonus footage as well. The match day vlog with Paul and John Machen. Some absolutely great stuff there. Keep it entertaining. Lots.
Do you just send that to Steve now as well?
I was going to say, Steve, we might hang fire and just send it to Steve as well. But yeah, so that's what's coming up on Wednesday. So again, if you want to be in the draw, go to Redmen TV, become a club legend, and you will be included in the draw. Right then, moving on. FA Cup draw took place last night. Adam, I don't even notice if you're at all interested at any point in it. But Liverpool were drawing in Shrewsbury Town at Anfield. It's 2 years on from the time where we played the kids against them after drawing at their place, and it caused a bit of a ruckus and stuff. This time, I don't think that's going to happen because there's no winter break to speak of. So, my question to you is, first of all, this game comes between... It's on the 8th or 9th, we haven't really been given the date yet, but we know that Chelsea's the 2nd and Brentford's the 15th. So it's not... The FA Cup obviously don't squeeze you into the middle like the League Cup do. It's its own weekend and stuff. Jürgen's going to rotate, we know that, it's January. So obviously, we're going to have players at AFCON on that. But how important is the FA Cup this season? Should it be important? Like, if Liverpool are the super club they say they want to be, is racking up domestic trophies of any importance whatsoever? And if it is, like, it's a good first draw to get.
This is not going to be a popular opinion.
No, that's fine.
I don't differentiate between the League Cup and the FA Cup. I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
In my head.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I think most people would value the FA Cup higher.
Yeah.
But we're already in the quarterfinals of the League Cup.
Yeah.
If we're going to try and win one of them, I'd try and win that one now.
Yeah.
And I would play Divock and Minamino and the bench, and then whatever amount of kids it takes to make up to a match day squad against Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
And if we get to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup playing the children, then I'd start to bring some first teamers in at that point. Like, we've got a chance this year at a league and European Cup double. We genuinely have.
Yeah.
And going for the FA Cup and having that in any way cost us either of those two things or both of them is stupid. We haven't got the squad for it.
Have we got the squad for it? Again, a lot of this is draw dependent, Ross, and I agree. So get in.
Sorry, just to clarify.
Yeah, yeah.
We haven't got the squad to play Mohamed Salah in the FA Cup and have him get injured.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, but yeah, I agree with that.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, no, but my question on that would be then, Ross. Klopp will rotate. We know that for a fact. Are Liverpool's fringe players good enough to get Liverpool through the couple of rounds that you're talking about? Again, a lot of that is draw dependent. Jürgen has always had the best of luck in this competition with the draws. Obviously, we've been knocked out by Chelsea, I think, haven't we? Yeah, Chelsea, wasn't it? Arsenal beat us. I think I should know this. Man United knocked us out.
We beat Arsenal.
Well. Yeah, we did. It was Man United who've knocked us out as well. So I remember getting beat at West Ham as well very early on. But like I say, you've been drawn at home to a League One club in the third round. So that, again, who knows how it's going to play out. And Shrewsbury fans, if anyone watch or listen, this might go, don't disrespect us, but whatever team Liverpool should be good enough to be Shrewsbury. So after that, if you do your kind draws, or even if it's a Premier League club, or for example, are Liverpool's secondary options good enough, do you think, to get them to where Adam said before, where you can get them through the first, what, rounds 3, 4 and 5 maybe, and then all of a sudden you're in the 6th and looking at it? Do you think we have got that depth? You mentioned before, you think we might have.
Possibly, yeah. It's also a draw dependent, but also injury dependent. Now, you can just throw a squad together, and I think it's also been marred by the Aston Villa thing on Qatar, of this thing of play the kids. He's literally playing a load of children, whereas I don't think it is.
No.
I think, you've got Konate, Ox, Taki, Origi, plus a couple of kids, Curtis Jones in there, Harvey Elliott will come back in January as well. So there's good times to play people that come back from injuries and still have a decent squad. I'm with Adam because my perception has changed from 10, 15 years ago when I'm going, I'd love a good cup run. Like, I'd love the League Cup, I'd love the FA Cup. But we weren't competing for league titles and Champions League then. We were just getting into the Champions League maybe and going, oh, we'll see how far we can get and then we get knocked out in the group stages or the round of 16 or whatever. Then we'll just go for the cups in that sense. I would happily biff them off and playing and being in a title race and being in a Champions League final.
But why can't you do both? That's my, because
there's a fear there that you are playing.
Manchester City, for example, I get the squad difference, and that's where it's come down to. But they win the League Cup pretty much every year, and it's never really stopped them.
Because they play fucking hashtag United and fucking. Yeah, well, that's what we kidding Mr. Harris.
They have had very kind draws, and also, if Aguero gets injured, they've got Gabriel Jesus, and if Bernardo Silva gets injured, they've got Ferran Torres, and if Sterling gets injured, they've got Mahrez.
Yeah.
Like they've got two 11s, yeah. And both of those 11s, they wouldn't both compete for a league, but they can both compete for an FA Cup.
Yeah.
And Liverpool haven't and will never have that under FSG.
No.
I'm not dismissing the fact that don't go for trophies, because that's the other argument going, well, it's a trophy, you know, you can have it in your cabinet, blah blah blah. Like I'm all for that. But my fear is, what are you then risking for a title race?
If you
want to go strong in round four or round five, but then you're 3 points off the top of the league, or you're 2 points off the top of the league, or you're 3 points ahead in the league, that's the priority.
Yeah.
Rest as many people as you can. Don't get to March, April, May, and you run your first team players into the ground because you're playing an FA Cup game. To me, that's just a bit.
I suppose
dad.
That I think sometimes you can get a bit of bad press on this. Like he has picked stronger FA Cup teams. So the team that Man United knocked out last year in that 3-2 game, Mo Salah played, Firmino started, Thiago played, Wijnaldum started, Fabinho started, Trent started, Robertson started. Obviously, Reece Williams was playing because we had the injury issues. Milner starts as captain, Curtis Jones plays. But by then, Curtis Jones was Liverpool's first team if he had run with anyway. So I don't think Jürgen sees it as resting. He actually picked strong teams. I'm looking at the teams who have knocked us out in the Klopp era. West Ham away in a replay with a last-minute goal. Wolves at home was a shocker. I think we all remember that one. They were a championship tied then. West Brom was a shocker. And again, he picked a very strong team against West Brom. We got beat 3-2 at home. Then we had Wolves again. Again, that was a mix of a team. Then it was Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, and then it was Man United. So you can see, like,
how we've lost those games.
Yeah, exactly. The draw is the draw. Like I can see you're right in saying that. It's not like he's rested kids. He's played the kids against Plymouth and got knocked out. I mean, we nearly did that. We had to play replays against them and stuff. And that's the thing with this competition you mentioned before, Adam, but different than the League Cup. It's all well and good resting players, but resting players like can get you a draw and then you get a replay and that's like, oh my God, you don't want them as well. That's the difference with the FA Cup. I just wonder at what stage Liverpool would... What would it take for Jürgen to put his best 11 on the pitch? Do you think it's a home game against Chelsea in the next round? Or is it, what you mentioned before, we'll get to the fifth, sixth round maybe and see where we're at then? How do you see it?
I think it's once the word final starts being in the name of the round.
Quarter final, semi-final, final.
Yeah. I think once you get to that stage, he'll go, oh, actually, this would be a nice thing to throw in the cupboard.
Yep.
And we're only two or three games away from making that happen. Oh, go on, Mo, you go and... beat them.
Last season, I think Arsenal knocked us out of the Carabao Cup, didn't they? Or one of the cups.
We got beat on pens, didn't we, I think?
Did we knock Arsenal out? And then, because where we got knocked out of the next game was in between the weekend before Christmas and Christmas. And everyone went, thank fuck, we got knocked out of that competition because there's an extra game in the middle of a really chaotic fixture list.
Yeah, it was.
And everyone was made up with it.
It was 0-0 at Arsenal, wasn't it? And then we got beat on penalties.
Yeah, so I was thinking of the 5-5, which was the year before, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was the year Villa's knocked out when we had to play the
Chelsea. But everyone was made up because you've got another fixture thrown into a bunch of others that you just don't want. And then to counter that, all your rivals are probably playing in it as well. So they've got another fixture in them.
Yeah, well, this year, I think he goes strong in that Leicester game in the League Cup, by the way. I think he wouldn't mind that one as well. But we'll find out soon enough, guys. We want to wrap up there. Thanks so much, Adam. Good luck with the Christmas single. I hope next time we see you, it might be a Christmas number one. It'd be absolutely
laurasgone.com. That's where you can get all the info for it.
Go to laurasgone.com. And as a great 79p for charity, why wouldn't you do it? If you can afford to do so, please have a little think about doing so. Ross, thank you very much as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thanks, everyone, for watching and listening to the podcast. Keep an eye out, obviously, on the channel site, AC, as of time recording, we've got the AC Milan game. So Paul and Chris will be in the studio for about an hour and 15 minutes before kickoff, reacting to the team news. Then they'll have the live watch along and all the post-match stuff. And then building after, obviously, we've got the build-up towards this weekend's game against Steven Gerrard, Aston Villa. So keep an eye out on the YouTube channel and on Red Men Plus for that. Until then, we'll see you years or later. Ta-da.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.